Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, every week at this time, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But it can only be a debate, really, if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. Or you can SMS us on 44780008066. Or you can email the show at comment@presstv.co.uk. I just got off the plane from Lebanon, where they're absolutely rocking in the aisles at the visit of the Iranian President Ahmadinejad. Of course, some of the communities in Lebanon were anxious about the visit. There were anxieties amongst Sunni Muslim groups, some of them, and some of the Christian communities in Lebanon. But President Ahmadinejad reached out to all of them. I'm not a big fan of all of his speeches, as many of you already know, but this was the best speech of his presidency. It was carried live on almost all Arab satellite channels, as well, of course, as here on Press TV, and indeed elsewhere in the world. It was a speech that was going to be listened to and then studied after the event. And it was a barnstormer. I arrived the night before he did, for quite different purposes, because I'm in the region leading the convoy from Latakia to Al-Arish in Egypt and thence across 14 kilometers of the Sinai Desert into Rafah. More about that in a minute. But when I arrived at Beirut Airport, it was transformed. The whole area of southern Beirut was transformed into mini Iran. Everywhere Iranian flags, everywhere pictures of Ahmadinejad, and everywhere full of expectation for his visit. Hundreds of thousands of people have listened to his two set-piece speeches in Lebanon itself, one in Dahia, which was devastated in 2006 by the Israeli Air Force bombardment, and in Bint Jebel this afternoon, which, as he rightly said, had been the epicenter of the Lebanese resistance to the Israeli aggression, invasion, and attempted reoccupation in 2006. I must say, I was anxious myself about the visit, because I know very intimately the fault lines which exist within Lebanese society, and especially between Lebanese politicians. But President Ahmadinejad did a great job. His speech deserves to be studied and studied and studied again, because it linked all the great regional issues with the international questions of globalized capitalism and the rest. But it also sent a message of unity, of the need for the Arab and Muslim world to be united against their real adversaries, their real enemies, and not to be divided by confessionalism, by sectarianism. And I thought he did a magnificent job. I'd like to hear your point of view. As I said, we're also going to talk about the convoy, which is setting off at the weekend, God willing, for the Egyptian port of Al-Arish. Of course, I will not be on board, though I will wave them goodbye from the quayside, because, well, I'm the leader of the convoy, whoever likes it, whoever doesn't. But as long as my friends get in, and as long as the aid gets in, that's good enough for me. These are my own personal views, of course. They're not the views of Press TV, certainly not the views of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And if you have a different point of view, then I want to hear about it. We're also going to talk about the British economy, because PricewaterhouseCoopers, no revolutionaries them, they are one of the biggest city analysts. They say there's going to be 1 million extra unemployed in Britain as a result of the cuts in public expenditure which the British government are about to announce in the next few days. Half of these job losses, they say, will be in the private sector, because of course these cuts, which will make hundreds of thousands of people redundant, will impact on the private sector of the economy. The wages of the workers sacked will not be there to buy goods and services in the private sector. There will be a fall in output in the private sector of some $75 billion a year. That's the prediction of PricewaterhouseCoopers. Tell me what you think. Are you worried about unemployment? Have you already been made unemployed? What do you think about the government's priorities? Saving Trident, but not the family allowance, not the child benefit system. Saving the war expenditure, building new aircraft carriers, investing in yet more paraphernalia for war, whilst making it clear that up to 25% will be cut from the budgets of virtually all British departments. And on this very day, the lawyers acting for the families of the martyrs of the Mavi Marmara were on the 31st of May in international waters. Israeli commandos killed 9 people, leaving a 10th brain dead, wounding dozens, and then falsely kidnapping, imprisoning hundreds on board, have demanded that the International Criminal Court now begin prosecution for war crimes. We'll be talking about that too. We've got a caller on the line. I better not keep her waiting any longer. It's Rita in the United Kingdom. Rita, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, George. I'd just like to say good luck to the people who are taking the Zionist Israeli government to the ICC.
Yeah.
I know they rule the world along with America, and they put 2 fingers up to Richard Goldstone and other very honourable people like that. But I hope the ICC can do something and not just be frightened and get some courage to stand up, like Ahmadinejad standing up to America and Israel. But on the British economy, George, remember when Cameron used to say, broke Britain?
Yes.
Broken Britain. Now he's taken a sledgehammer to Britain. On the Mina Taylor's big story last week, it pointed out that the billionaire tax dodgers in this country cost the Treasury, the UK Treasury, about $70 billion a year. So that, along with all the war that Blair spent, billions and billions ransacking Iraq and murdering and slaughtering people in Iraq and Afghanistan, there's no need for these cuts. The poor, yet again, the rich live off the backs of the poor and they call themselves Christian people. This is what makes me sick. It's a pity they didn't practice what they preach. And Mrs. Thatcher's 85th birthday today. Cameron wants to finish what she started. And I think it's absolutely a disgrace as well, George, that last week when I was looking at Press TV, to see the child being run over by illegal settlers in Israel there.
And well, the Rita, very powerfully expressed views. Thank you very much indeed for them. It is indeed Mrs. Thatcher's 85th birthday today. And what did she see on television all day? Miners celebrating. Must have been hard. Let's go to London. Talk to Shahid on the ICC issue. Shahid, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening, George. How are you, sir?
Very well, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I'd just like to say, I just find it extremely hypocritical of the West that they do not want these murderers of these Turkish citizens to be brought to justice, whereas the murderers of the Srebrenica men, women and children were brought to justice in the ICC for the murders by the Serbians. Why do not the West just agree that this was just the same massacre that was done by the Israelis as was done by the Serbians?
Well, it was very much smaller, of course. That's the first point that has to be made. 9 dead on the ship and many hundreds dead in Srebrenica. So we mustn't fall into the trap of describing things as just the same or just as bad, because that obviously is literally not true. Secondly, of course, no one's been tried for murder. No one has been convicted of murder. I am obliged by the British broadcasting laws to point that out. Although the United Nations Tribunal said that on the basis of their exhaustive inquiry into the events, that there was a case to answer for war crimes and crimes against humanity, which is even more serious than murder. Shahid, thanks for the call. Double standards is the point you were making, and I entirely agree. Let's stay in London and talk to Anwar. Yes, Anwar, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Good evening and assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum salam.
You're looking much, much fitter every day. Nice to see you, George.
Yes, I'm suffering with all this traveling in the Middle East. I'm losing weight fast.
Yeah, I'm just encouraging you, George. I'm sorry that Egypt hasn't given you the visa, which is very unfortunate on their part. And I wish for the convoy, you know, I hope they reach their destination and help the Palestinian people. That's the first thing.
Thanks, Anwar.
Okay, secondly, George, about ICC, I think, and I really feel that it is time that the Zionist regime should be punished and everyone in the world should know their crimes. That is one point. Now, coming to Ahmadinejad's visit to Beirut, very briefly, George, as you just said very rightly, I think his speech should be studied very deeply and the one should be able to read in between lines. I think, I listened to the whole speech, George, I think he was very, very honest. There was no ambiguity and he is trying his best to bring peace and understanding into the region, which has been the policy of the West and the Zionists and APEC and all those, as you know, to divide them, and we know the history. So I hope it sends a good message to the Zionist people, because I know, George, as you know yourself, there are a lot of Jews who don't agree with their own government. And I hope that they pressurize Netanyahu and his government to change their ways, because if they don't, I am sure one day, George, I hope that day doesn't come. America is going to help them as they have always done, but we don't want bloodshed in the Middle East.
No, the last thing we need is even more blood to be shed. And you're right, Anwar, even some members of Netanyahu's own government said in the Knesset last week that there was the whiff of fascism, their words, the whiff of fascism about the latest Netanyahu proposal to force non-Jews living in what they call Israel to sign an oath of allegiance to a Jewish state, thus signing themselves as second-class, third-class citizens. There is indeed a whiff of fascism about that proposal. I don't always agree with President Ahmadinejad, and even more often, I don't agree with the way that he expresses things. I was anxious about the visit to Lebanon, but I tell you, it could not have gone better. He has allayed the anxieties of significant sections of both the Sunni Muslim and the Lebanese Christian population. It was a barnstorming performance. It was an outstanding speech. He's done Iran proud. He's done Iran a lot of good with this visit to Lebanon, and it's a great credit to himself that he made the speech that he did. Thanks, Anwar. Let's go to Nigeria and talk to a friend there about the Lebanese situation. Good evening, sir.
Yeah. Hello. Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. Firstly, I want to thank Presley for giving us this opportunity to see different views from the perspective whereby we are not given the access to view this news from other parts of the country, whereby these so-called top newscasters, they are not being allowed to see news about Iran, where they give us false information about the world. And again, I saw the visit to the president, Iran President Ahmadinejad, to Lebanon. And again, you can see when you check all those girls in the site, they are always complaining about the way it's been happening. And this is a man of peace, who is trying to bring peace.
I think that's right. I think that's right, Shia. He is trying to bring unity and obtain justice in the Middle East. And without justice, of course, there can be no peace. Thanks for the call. Let's go from Nigeria to Surrey and talk to Ali on Ahmadinejad and Lebanon. Ali, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
We talked last week about Cyprus, but this week we want to talk about Ahmadinejad.
Yeah.
He does not represent himself very well, apart from the last 2 days that he did in Beirut and in the Lebanon, right? And I think that he is a welcome side to the Islamic world. You know, I am a Shia, but I am not talking about partisanship now, to bring the whole Arab people together, like Abdul Nasser did in the 50s and in the 60s. And I do appreciate a person like that to get up and stand up to Zionism, not to the Jewish people, to Zionism. You know, and it really makes my heart flutter when I heard him today and I watched him on television.
Ali, thanks for that. I'm with you on that. Let's go to Slough on the same subject and talk to Harris. Harris, welcome to the show, friend.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead.
Oh, brilliant. No, I just want to say that further commenting on Ahmadinejad, I think although I'm with you, I don't always necessarily agree with him, but I think his speech is all inspiring today, given the circumstances. And so I think we need some positive influences in that region and some positive remarks to move things going forward, hopefully in the right directions, and stand up against the Zionists, because I do believe, and I think a lot of the callers have pointed out, that it's not a problem against the Jews, it's more the Zionists and the neocons are suspected.
Sure, and also, Harris, he was addressing the issue of Lebanon itself. He made it clear that he wants to see a united, strong Lebanese state, that he is not favouring one section of the Lebanese population over others, and his view is that everyone should make Lebanon work with all its complexities. And in doing so, he allayed the fears and anxieties that were definitely felt. I was there, I can tell you, definitely felt in the Sunni Muslim street and indeed in some sections of the Christian population in Lebanon. All these populations, together with the Druze, of course, are vitally important. Harmony must reign between them. Power must be shared between them. And that's what the president was saying today. And I think he deserves a great deal of credit. Let's see if Aftab in Southall agrees. Aftab, welcome to the show, my friend. Unfortunately, Aftab just fell off the switchboard. We're talking about President Ahmadinejad's visit to the Lebanon, which is still going on and which has been a barnstorming success. There's no other way of putting that. He was a pure box office, to use Hollywood parlance. All eyes were on him. All ears were listening to him. And he didn't let anybody down in the speech that he made. I think Aftab might be back on the line now in Southall. Aftab, welcome back to the show.
Yes, assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Alaikum salam, sir.
My brother, just I want to say, first of all, to all of our Muslim brother, why we say we are Sunni and we are Shia? This is just, I don't understand this.
I agree with that, yes.
This is the main point, people just divide and they rule on us. So we don't say we are Shia and we are Sunni, at least we believe in one God. And after that, whatever we do, it is our iman, whether it is weak or it is a strong, it is we who have to pay the account. So
yes.
Why we say we are Sunni and why we are Shia, the first thing.
Very good point.
I'd like to remind my brother, we should not say we are Sunni and we are Shia. We are just Muslim.
Okay, very good point. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, my brother. And the second thing is I'm saying, I don't understand this Arab the government, Ahmadinejad is saying everything openly. He's not saying behind the screen that he is with which country. He is openly saying he is with the Muslim people or with is the with the right people, either it is a Christian, Jews or the Muslim.
Yes.
So I don't understand this Arab countries government and even the public. Even the public, they are with the government. Because I cannot say only the government, they are not doing enough. Even the public are with the government.
Because well, of course, not all Iranian people are with the government. There's a very substantial opposition to the government in Iran. But of course, we only know that because there was a free and democratic election in Iran. In some countries nearby, who shall be nameless, they've never had an election ever. So we don't know who is with the government and who is against the government. But it's a very good call, Aftab, in Southall. I think that's true. The one thing, and I repeat it for the third time, I don't agree with Ahmadinejad on everything, and I frequently disagree with how he expresses things. But nobody can doubt that he is sincere. And I think that's the secret of the success that he's having. He is transparently a sincere and honest and uncorrupt person. And there's not that many leaders who could say that. Let's go to Kuwait, I think maybe for the first time, and talk to Abu Maher on the Iranian president. My friend in Kuwait, you're very welcome indeed to the show.
Thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you for that. In fact, we follow your program in Kuwait, even you didn't hear about us, but we have a kind of Diwaniya. We sit together and
very good.
TV, and also we like to criticize everything. So
I'm very touched. I'm very touched to hear that. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, and it's the modern one in English language. This is what we are proud of, really, and it's a true one. We follow your move toward our brothers in Palestine, and we speak about this all the time.
We have about many Kuwaitis on our convoy about to sail, by the way.
About the Iranian president going to the Arab country of Lebanon.
Yes.
We admire Hezbollah, and this is everybody everywhere in the world. I think people are proud about them. If he's an honest person, it doesn't matter if he's a Sunni or Shia or Arab or not Arab. So they're fighting against Israel. They're killing Sunnis in our brothers in Palestine. And no country is helping them other than the Iranians. But Najad cannot work, I think. You know, this is what your opinion. Cannot work without Egypt and Turkey. When do you think this is going to happen, that they come together, especially Turkey? I think they're going better now, but we like them sometimes to be together, because be united together. I don't know what do you think.
Well, I strongly agree with you, Abu Maher, and that's actually, of course, now happening. On the nuclear question, the tripartite agreement made in Tehran was between Iran and Turkey and Brazil, another very important country with a very good president, outgoing and incoming. And I do think that it's crucially important that Iran and Turkey move forward together, because they are sending a message across the Arab world that here are two leaders who are, well, I don't want to put it unkindly, but who are in a different league from most of the leaders of the Arab world. And this message is not lost on the Arab masses. In the streets, of course. It's wonderful that you're watching in Kuwait. Please spread the word. Let's get more viewers and callers from Kuwait. I wonder if I've got time to squeeze in Jim on Ahmadinejad. Jim, quickly. Go ahead, sir.
Hi there, George.
Hi.
George, I agree with you. Ahmadinejad's visit to Lebanon was far more powerful than any F-15 or F-16 plain Zionist tanks that they have been using against Lebanon. He came to Lebanon as a messenger of unity and peace for the Middle East. His speeches was far more powerful than any devastating weapons the Israelis and Zionists had
Jim, you've put that Lebanon. Absolutely brilliantly. And the Saudi foreign minister, Saud al-Faisal, welcomed President Ahmadinejad's visit to Lebanon. He said that it would help unity in Lebanon. So unity is breaking out. After the break, for the news, we're going to talk to Hassan al-Khatib, who's with the Viva Palestina convoy in Latakia. I'll be back right after the news with the second half of Comment. You won't want to miss it, I promise. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Don't forget that if you have a different point of view to mine, your calls will be especially welcome. Indeed, they will be prioritized. So if you disagree with the take that I am adopting on any of the issues this evening, please call and you'll get right on to the air. And that's a promise. Now, we're talking, of course, about President Ahmadinejad's visit to Lebanon, but we're also talking about the imminent cuts in public expenditure in Britain. There's going to be a massive, massive reduction in public spending in Britain, perhaps 25% off the budget of many government departments, but one government department is going to still be in clover. The government department in question is the Ministry of Defence, which is still going to get its Trident nuclear weapons system rehabilitated, reinvented, brought up to modern times at a cost of, well, just £70 million. That, as it happens, is exactly the amount of money that the government is going to cut out of public expenditure. So there you have it. We could actually ditch the Trident and keep our pensioners warm, have no cuts in our public services, keep everyone's child benefit, even keep the tuition fees for students at the current level. We can choose all these things or we can choose the nuclear weapons. That's one of the issues I want to talk about tonight, the British economy and what's going to happen to it once these cuts come into force. PricewaterhouseCoopers have just predicted this evening 1 million extra jobless. There's already 2.5 million people on the unemployment register. There are millions more on the sickness benefit, invalidity and disability and all the other proliferation of different types of joblessness. 2.5 million officially unemployed, another million, half of them from the private sector, on their way. We're talking to about the convoy which is about to leave Latakia at the weekend. That's the convoy called Viva Palestina 5, of which I have the honor to be the leader. I will not be able to sail with them because Egypt won't let me, but I will be at the quayside to wave them goodbye. And I remain the leader, whoever likes it, whoever doesn't. Let's talk to Anil in Leicester on President Ahmadinejad. Good evening, my friend. Welcome to the store, to the show. Yes, Anil? Hello? Hello, Leicester? Ah, unfortunately, that one hasn't come through. Lots of calls tonight about Ahmadinejad. Seems to have really captured the public imagination. It certainly did in Lebanon, I could assure you for that, because I was there. I was present as the cavalcade went past in the southern part of Beirut, where he spoke at the Dahia, which is the area that was devastated in 2006, reduced to rubble and ash, now rebuilt, and Ahmadinejad really had them rocking in the aisles. I think our caller's back from Leicester. Anil, welcome back. Hello, sir.
Hello.
Ah, my dear, go ahead.
Hiya, good evening, Mr.
Good
Galloway.
Good evening, my apologies.
Mr. Galloway, I want to say it, what I hear it today about the British media, especially the BBC.
Yes.
And they say it, that Ahmadinejad came to us, to Lebanon, for preparing for us a war. Now, we invite Ahmadinejad. We welcomed him, Ahmadinejad, and we honor him, Ahmadinejad, whether they like it, whether they dislike it.
Yes, he was invited. He was invited by
the Iranian nation. We're saying it to the Iranian nation because Ahmadinejad of the Iranian nation. Thank you that you stand for the human right and for the justice.
Well,
Lebanon is one of the other nations who are suffering for the right and for them resisting. We are the resisting nation, and we thank you. And thank you, Church Galloway, that you are representing TV, Press TV. And thank you that they bring in always this speech from Ahmadinejad and Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. We are resisting. They have to understand that 2010 will be our year. We want to leave. And, you know, Mr. Galloway, there are people who are living in Leicester. They borrow the ticket and they go there just only to see Ahmadinejad.
Yes, actually, there are many of them on my flight the day before he arrived. And they thought I was going to Beirut to throw flowers at President Ahmadinejad. I wasn't, of course. I was there on a convoy business. It was just coincidence. But I was glad that I was there at the same time as him because I captured the essence of your telephone call, the spirit of the Lebanese people. And I think that that was very important indeed. He was received by the Christian president of Lebanon. He was received by the Sunni Muslim Prime Minister of Lebanon, and I have to mention their affinities because, of course, the Constitution of Lebanon reflects the tremendously carefully balanced political nexus which exists there based on the patchwork of different religious communities and the history of many problems long before Hezbollah existed, long before even the Iranian Revolution. Now, there are hundreds of people from over 30 countries with millions of dollars worth of aid and hundreds of vehicles waiting at the quay in Latakia in Syria. One of them is Press TV's own Hassan Al-Khatib. Hassan, welcome to the show and congratulations. You must be getting ready to sail.
Thank you very much. Good evening, George.
Good evening. You must be getting ready for the big sail.
Yes, the catching not very good, but yes, we're still at Latakia, and it looks like this Sunday morning we will be leaving the port from Syria, and we will be hopefully entering Al-Arish in East.
Yes. Now, I'm of course not going to be with you. Thanks to the Egyptian government's decision, they have finally completed my exile from Palestine. I now can't go to Palestine by any direction. 35 years I've been going there. 35 years this cause has been in my blood. But I'll be happy to see you going there. Is everyone else going on the voyage? Are there any more tripwires that you can see in front of the convoy?
Sorry, repeat that for me.
Ah, well, it was a long question. Are you confident that everyone else and everything else is going to get in? Are the Egyptians going to receive the whole convoy minus me?
Well, we see a few conditions that they have given us, and I am sure that most of us, if not all of us, will be re-entering Gaza. Obviously, the permission is one thing, but aside from that, there's many other conditions that they will be giving us, such as the vehicles, such as the people inside the vehicles, and also the equipment. So we're hoping that this process will be slightly more easier than the past, and hopefully all of us should be getting into the Rafah crossing.
Hassan, thank you very much on a difficult line, talking to us from Latakia. Of course, there may be just a whiff of change in the Egyptian position. the talks between Fatah and Hamas are at a sensitive juncture, but are going well, and many of us have our fingers crossed for a reunification of the Palestinian National Movement, and Egypt, of course, is a part of that equation. Egypt have just agreed regular flights between Cairo and Tehran, something I'm sure the United States and Israel don't like, but it's to Egypt's credit that it has helped to institute such an air bridge between the two capitals. And now, from our friend Al-Khatib, it seems that the, by and large, most of the convoy, if not all of it, will be going into Gaza. I'll be sorry to see them go, but happy at where they're going. Let's go to Germany now and talk to Dahdias about President Ahmadinejad. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, my friend. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, Mr. George.
Go ahead then, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Welcome.
I'm very grateful. And please, I want to speak shortly about the visit for the president of Iran.
Yeah.
To Lebanon.
Yeah.
I have only one thing to tell the politicians, that I'm very proud. I'm not an Iranian, but I'm very proud of what Iran has as a leadership, because I see them that they are working for the generations of the Iranians. Because of not taking the rights of the Iranians, the generation to sell it out for a price that doesn't work for it. That is one. Secondly, is that I want to tell the politicians from A to Z that they have to look the visit of the president of Iran, when they go to any country as a visit, and then to see that their national flags are burning and making ashamed of it, that they have to think twice over it.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point, my friend. There are not many foreign leaders can go to a foreign country and have a reception like that. Some foreign leaders, who shall be, I suppose, nameless, go, as you say, to find their national flags not flying, but burning. So I think the people in Iran can take a great deal of pride in their president's achievements in Lebanon. Let's go to Ireland, talk to David on the same subject. Yes, David, welcome to the show, my friend.
George, how are you?
Very well, very well. Go ahead.
Nice to see you again today.
Thank you.
George, I just want to comment on the Ahmadinejad visit to Lebanon.
Yes.
As you're a politician, you know very well if your own public will support you, if your own country will support you inside your own country, that will make a huge difference what you're saying in international politics. As
yes.
We know, Ahmadinejad doesn't have any support inside Iran.
That can't be true, though, David, can it? I mean, he got 28 million votes.
But he's. If you see the human rights abuses is occurring inside Iran, it's disgusting, George. You know that
that's a different matter, David. You said he didn't have any support in Iran. Now that's clearly not true. Maybe you want to reframe that, because it's very clear from demonstrations of millions upon millions of people supporting Ahmadinejad.
We are living in democratic society.
No, but nobody can force millions and millions of people onto the streets in support of a president. That's not possible.
Thank you very much, George. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm sorry that you didn't want to debate that point, David, but thanks anyway for the spirit in which you made it. Let's take a couple of emails. There's so many calls waiting, but I must get some emails in up here on the comment wall. Let's see where this one is from. Craig from London. It's clear that the Iranian president wants to stir trouble in the White House. He likes to take a hard stance and it doesn't help his case, and you're the same. You hate views from people like me who believe in a safe and secure Middle East, not one dependent on need. Well, that's gobbledygook to me, Craig. You'd be better to call us and make that rather labyrinthian email more clear. But I can assure you that the overwhelming opinion in the world about Ahmadinejad's visit to Lebanon is likely to be contrary to yours. But call me and we can tease out what it is that you really meant, because there's a whole series of, let's put it kindly, complexities in that email that are difficult to follow. Let's take another one, though, see if it's any more clear. This one is from Ellie in London. I'm interested in the news you had before your show. There seems to be a difference in the public opinion when the Palestinian leader goes to the US and when Ahmadinejad goes to Lebanon. Obviously, the public seem to like him more than the US's Clinton. But it isn't that the point. Shouldn't we in the UK be supporting this? Well, I mean, we're entitled to take a view on human rights in Iran, on the way that the election aftermath and so on was handled. We can take a point of view on the judicial system, on methods of punishment and so on in Iran. These are all legitimate areas of debate and argument. But what is manifestly not true is that Ahmadinejad doesn't have any support in Iran. That's an absurd and ridiculous claim to make. And moreover, he's beginning to pick up a lot of support around the world. Let's go to Germany now and hear from Manu on exactly that subject. Manu, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, George. I would like to say we have a victory this week. You have a victory. You visited Canada after what we have been waiting for a very long time.
Yes, I'll be back on the 16th of November.
That is perfect, and we have a victory now. Ahmadinejad went to Lebanon, and what he is saying exactly, he wants the Arab to be exactly as Europe it is, because the Europe, they are united. You can go from Germany to France to every country without any problem, but they make sure that they divide. Arab is different, Iran is different. They try to see that this is a Shia, this is a Muslim, this is a Christian, which is not existing in the mind and the speech of Ahmadinejad today. So I would like to say it's a very big victory. Secondly, David is saying he doesn't have support. Can he compare to the support of Hosni Mubarak and that of Ahmadinejad? Because Ahmadinejad was elected. We know how he was elected. We know he has only two times. Hosni Mubarak was elected almost 3 decades now. How many prisoners, political prisoners, are in Egypt? David don't know about that. I will say Iran is the only country which is holding democracy in the whole of Middle East.
Whatever imperfections there are, and there are imperfections in the Iranian political process, it beats into a cocked hat, as we say in this country, all the other political systems around about them. They have elections. Tens of millions of people vote in those elections. Tens of millions of people demonstrate after these elections. There is a vibrant political and civil society in Iran. You don't have to agree with everything that happens in Iran in order to accept that truth, that reality. Thanks, Manu, for a great call. Let's hear from Robert in Ireland on the same subject. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi there. Go ahead.
Judge, first of all, I want to commend you for the work you've been doing.
Thank you.
You're educating people like us that are not very vast the issues in the Middle East. But I have two questions for you.
Go ahead.
First one, can you tell me what the uprise is all about the president of Iran going to Lebanon? If you can tell me what the whole, why the West are so aggrieved about him going over there.
Because it confounds their whole analysis that Ahmadinejad is somehow, as an earlier caller said, a person with no support. It's very clear that not only does he have support in Iran, he has support in Lebanon, and the speech that he gave has won him friends and admirers throughout the Muslim world. I'm sure about that. I can only allow you one question, Robert, because I've got to get to the other callers. Javed in London on the Western media. Go ahead, Javed.
Hi, George.
Go ahead, sir, quickly.
Hi, George.
Yes, go ahead.
It's me, Javed, from London. I'm from Afghanistan.
I'm sorry, it's a very bad line. You'll have to forgive me. Maybe we'll get back to you. I want to get as many calls in the last few minutes as I can. Let's hear from Osman. Osman, go ahead, sir.
Hello, George, how are you doing? How are you doing?
Yes, good, sir. Thanks very much. Go ahead.
The question I'm going to ask, because when Ahmadinejad was in Lebanon, I don't know why the America angry about it, no? Normally, when they go to other countries to visit, nobody gets problem with them now. But when Ahmadinejad went to Lebanon and visit, you know, to help the poor people in Lebanon that Israel have destroyed, you know, that the whole world is against him to say he's doing bad or he's making something big in Lebanon to fight against Israel, that is not true. The man is doing something good for the land.
He is doing something good. He is doing something good. I appreciate that. That's Osman in Germany. Not a great line, but a good call. Ben in Scotland might be a clearer line. Go ahead, Ben. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George. I just would like to make a comment about the visit to Lebanon.
Yes.
I think that the Ahmadinejad support will expand. I think it will be increased after his visit to Lebanon. I think all that will happen due to the fact that there is big tension in Gaza, in Palestine. So this will give a credit and more support to Ahmadinejad. So I disagree with some comments says he doesn't have support and all that. I think even if he has had a fraction of support in the past, I think this fraction will expand and increase, and he will win what he wants. So therefore, his visit, I think, will make a success at the end.
Thanks, Ben. It was a clear line and a very clear message. This is Chesham in England, and it's Mohammed. Mohammed, welcome. Go ahead, sir, quickly. Mohammed? Unfortunately, I think we've lost Mohammed. I'm on the last couple of minutes. Yes, Mohammed, are you there?
Good evening.
Yes, good evening. Go ahead, sir.
I admire that what you are doing for justice in the world.
Thank you, sir.
And also, I condemn that the Egyptian government haven't allowed you to go to Egypt.
Thank you.
And the other thing is that with regard to Ahmadinejad's visit to Beirut, and he was very, very successful. And also, I congratulate all the Iranians, they have such a president that who speaks the truth, and I think that his visit will make a change in the Middle East and bring peace in the Middle East. And I think that we need to have more leaders like Ahmadinejad in the Middle East. Thank you, George.
Well, thank you. Let's quickly take Richard in London. Richard, go ahead. You've got 30 seconds. Go on.
Hello, yes, this is Richard here speaking from London. Actually, I just wanted to comment a little bit on Ahmadinejad's visit to Lebanon. I was really, really impressed, extremely, excessively, and absolutely impressed, despite the fact that the US is pressing the Iran.
Unfortunately, that line went haywire, but Richard's message was absolutely clear. And it's been the message from most of the callers, texters and emailers this evening. The visit to Lebanon by President Ahmadinejad, the President of the Islamic Republic of Iran, has been an almost unqualified success. It has confounded his critics. It has disappointed his enemies. It has cheered his friends. And that all adds up to a pretty good day's work, don't you think? I hope you think I've done a pretty good day's work here on Comment. If you do, come back next week, God willing.